And with that, I am pleased to introduce our next round of keynote speakers. Now, this conference is about the struggle to protect the environment. It obviously generally focuses on local issues across the nation, but international issues are important too. We're not in this fight alone, and our next speakers come all the way from China. For some of them, it's their first visit to the United States. And for no further ado, I'm pleased to introduce the host for our Chinese keynoters, local Eugene entrepreneur, Ocean Yuan.
Years ago, I came to Eugene. The reason I knew about Oregon was I was reading a translated Chinese book. It was an English version translated into Chinese. It's called American Indians in Oregon. And I learned that over 60% of American Indians tribes are actually within Oregon. Historians around the world imagined over 10,000 years ago, Asians in the Mongolia area somehow came to Oregon through the Bering Sea and all that. I thought there was no Boeing 747. There was no high-speed train. So how did they get from far east to far west? How long would it take them to travel that distance and bring their civilization to this alien land? In 1990, it took me longer from travel from Sichuan province, Sichuan County, Zhejiang province in eastern China, to travel from my hometown to Shanghai, then from Shanghai to Eugene, Oregon. But today, from if anyone have traveled to China, you choose either San Francisco or Seattle, it takes only 10, 12 hours. Now, these are all good. People have better life, faster trains, faster planes, bigger houses, big cars, and all the materials that 6.5 billion people around the world all want to have. However, now when I go back to my hometown, the river is dry. The fish I used to catch with my dad, early in the morning, and took it to the free market to sell and exchange for soy sauce, salt, rice, and all that. There's no fish left. In fact, when we were at a primary school, we were taught in China we had three greatest rivers. Up in the north, it was Yellow River. In the center, it's the Yangtze River. In the south, it is Pearl River. Today, up in the north, the Yellow River no longer a year-round river. It's a seasonal river. Just in the short period of 30 years. And in southern China, in Guangzhou, the mayor and the party secretary always want to promote saying how clean the Pearl River is in southern China, linking Guangdong province to Hong Kong, etc. By organizing a government official swimming team to dive into the Pearl River to show that the river is really clear. However, next day's report is when half of them is in the hospital. So, what we, the civilization we have been pursuing in the last 30 years, particularly in developing countries, fast developing countries like China, India, are prime examples of pursuing economic development at all costs. And the consequences are clean air no longer seen. The smog in Beijing and other major cities in China is measured. It cannot be measured by the equipment they bought. So what do? They change the standard. Remember a few weeks ago, there was a report saying that China's standard of red alert, which is highest warning of polluted air, is now from extreme red into red, or something like that. But in reality, the particles in the per square inch measurement is actually increasing rather than decreasing. So I was very moved in the previous dancing group. I was talking to my Chinese friends. In China now, if you are in China, living in big cities or small towns for that matter, mid-aged or senior ladies, they have dancing groups. We call it nanny dancing groups, and they are very noisy. But they're not doing the things you just did. We were talking just a few minutes ago, you know, one of my experts saying the real revolution should come from the people, from individuals who really feel that we have to care about the only earth, the only place we live, and this so-called global village. It's all connected. In Eugene, we're lucky. In Oregon, we're lucky. In the United States, we're lucky. In Canada, we're lucky. In Europe, we're lucky in terms of clean air, clean water. However, the polluted air from Beijing, often blown to Tokyo, to Seoul, and sometimes to California. And imagine 30 years from now, if we don't do something, if the people don't do something, there will be no place for us to breathe clean air. The rivers will continue to be dry. The fish, we only can eat the fish that are raised in the closed indoor tanks. And that's what some of the Chinese farmers are figuring out, how to grow vegetables, how to grow fish in indoor environment. Imagine that. In a system that is very top-down, such as China, the government at the very top can somehow dictate what industrial policies they want to carry out. There's always a group saying, well, that system is more efficient. In a democratic system, it's less efficient. I would argue that the government, no matter which government, the future Donald Trump government, or the collective leadership government in China, whatever the government do, I think they are all for the elite. The people, you and me, the individual citizens, are really the revolutionary force. Look at the history of China's, 2,500 years the so-called feudal society, the traditional Chinese kingdom or emperor type of ruling system. When a new dynasty is born, usually it's by the people who revolted. In America, it's a we have a process that each one of us is equal by one vote. However, there's another argument saying, you know, on a greenback, everybody is equal. That's what Donald Trump is saying. I think in our system, in the American system, in the environment issues, we should not only care about our local issues, because there is no local anymore after the globalization 30 years ago. I just visited Richard Cap Company in town. Some of you may heard about that name. It started in 1970, and they are one of the biggest baseball hat manufacturers in America. Their supply chain components are all from China and Vietnam. The final assembly, testing, or design, all that is done in Springfield. What I'm saying is, a small company in Eugene is already a globally connected enterprise. There's a very famous, Oregon Duck, Jim Hill, is a longtime friend of mine in town. He makes, Sport Hill running gears, running clothing. And his supply chain is all over the world. China, Vietnam, and Pakistan, and Middle East, and all that. So no matter how small your company is, you are interconnected globally. Environmental issues is even more so, because you don't have to do anything. The dirty air will belong to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The dirty water somewhere in India will somehow find a way to Oregon. I saw that. You remember 4 or 5 years ago? In Japan, there was a huge earthquake. 2 years later, one of the loading dock in one of the port cities in Japan, huge concrete blocks, huge, appeared on Oregon coast 2 years later. And that's a huge, I don't know, hundreds of tons of a loading dock. Imagine the water and the air. And it burns, it flows, and it's everywhere. So we have to do something, particularly large polluting countries, such as China, India, developed countries. Now, in the last 30 years, they focused in developing economies. Now they're waking up, thinking, well, next 30 years, what should we be doing? We should be doing something different. So today I have the honor of 3 distinguished scholars and professors and environmental experts from China in terms of understanding of what's going on there and what they are planning to do for the next 30 years. First, my guest is Mr. Lai Huinan, and he is the editor-in-chief of Xiaokang magazine. This magazine promotes rural development, urbanization, how to sustainably grow urban areas in China in the next 30 years. So he's going to review what's past and what they are looking forward to. And second guest is Dr. Chan. Professor Chan is China's top environmental author for environmental laws and a series of animal rights protection laws and others. And he's going to focus on the rule of law development and building up and establishment and how to enforce from the central government level to the local level, how to enforce the environmental law so that they don't repeat the mistakes they have made in the last 30 years, and also the damage in the last 30 years, and going forward in the next 30 years, what's their strategy? And the last young expert is Mr. Cao Yi. And Cao Yi, he is only 30 years old. And I wanted him to talk about how the young people are thinking about what is going on in China and what they are doing to improve. And in some things, some areas, the young generation, they think different. They live on internet age. They live on China's Twitter, YouTube type of tools to educate the populace, educate the older generation, and educate the younger generation how to deal with the current, you know, environmental disaster, so that we would leave a truly clean and a sustainable legacy to our next generation. So first, let's welcome Mr. Lai for his presentation.